May we indeed know that God is near this morning. Thank you. Thank you, Roger. Well, good morning and welcome. It is good to be together. It's great to be together. Awesome to be together. We'll go with awesome this morning. Before we get after it, let me go ahead and dismiss. There are some young ones here, and so you are dismissed, released. As long as you can fit one of those tiny chairs. I know Roger's been tempted from time to time, but it's those tiny chairs, I think, that... It's tiny chairs, Roger. They're tiny chairs.
I hear the call.
Let us know how that works out.
Really, I didn't have an accident this morning. I just had an accident, that's all.
Oh. Oops. And then I draw that attention to him. Roger, is your mic still on? Maybe you turned it off. All right. Very good. Well, let me invite us this morning again to turn to Numbers. Numbers, the book of Numbers. And with that, we are going to turn to chapter 22. If you're grabbing a Pew Bible, page 112. The words will be on the screen behind me as well. Numbers and chapter 22. We are continuing to work our way through what is the Torah, the first five books of our Bibles. And what we have been calling the Jesus backstory. And with that, today we come to Parsha Balak. Parsha Balak picks up at 22 and 2 and runs through 25 and 9. Again, Parsha meaning portion or section. The Torah divided into 54 Parshiot. And so today we come to number 40. Can you believe it? We're on number 40 of the 54. Hard to believe. Parsha Balak, it begins here. We read 22 and 2, Vayar Balak ben Zippor, meaning, and saw Balak, son of Zippor. And what did he see? It says, Ed kol asher asah Yisrael, and he saw all that Israel had done. So Balak saw all that Israel had done, La Emori, to the Amorites. Balak saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, keeping in mind, as we mentioned last week, Israel is on this journey. They are heading toward the Promised Land, heading toward Canaan. Most recently, they have been traveling through the wilderness to the east of Moab, and most recently, defeating the Amorites, and now they are camping along the Jordan River across from Jericho. And Balak, who is king of Moab, along with the Moabites, it says, they are terrified. They are filled with dread. They are afraid that the Israelites are coming for them. 22 verse 4, the Moabites said to the elders of Midian, this horde is going to lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field. And so Balak, he decides to send some messengers, the elders of both Moab and Midian, to send them to summon, it says, verse 5, to summon Bilam, son of Beor. Bilam is a prophet, not well thought of, at least in the New Testament references. Here he does listen to the voice of God, and he speaks only what God says to him. To summon Bilam, son of Beor, saying, a people has come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the land and have settled next to me. Now come and put a curse on these people, because they are too powerful for me. And so off the messengers go, and they come to Bilam, and they give him the message. And then dropping down to verse 9, it says, we read, God came to Bilam and asked, who are these men with you? Verse 10, Bilam said to God, Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, sent me this message. A people that has come out of Egypt covers the face of the land. Now come and put a curse on them for me. Perhaps then I will be able to fight them and drive them away. But God, verse 12, but God said to Balaam, do not go with them. You must not put a curse on those people because they are blessed. And from there, the rest of this parsha is really all about just that. Not so much chapter 25. It goes through 25 and 9. Not chapter 25. It takes a really bad turn at 25. But for the most part, this parsha is really all about just that. It's about blessing upon blessing. What is in one sense the receiving of a gift, right? I think blessing, that's the receiving of a gift. In another sense, though, it's a pattern. Think of it as maybe a paradigm. A paradigm of blessing. Blessing upon blessing. It's a paradigm that is found all throughout the Bible. Most notably, it's interesting that here in Parsha Balak, there's all kinds of connections, all kinds of parallels that are connecting this story to the story of Abraham. Incidentally, Abraham is considered to be the father of the blessing. By way of example, some of that connection, just a couple. Bilam, we read verse 21, gets up early in the morning. Abraham, we read, gets up early in the morning. Bilam says, saddles his donkey. Abraham does the same. I could go on and on. Not to mention that over and over again, both make these repeated references to blessing. Right? It goes again on and on and on. And it's just that at the heart of the blessing is a paradigm for doing life. At the heart of the blessing is a paradigm for doing life. An invitation to live the heart of the blessing. Genesis 12 and verse 1. It's here that we see this pattern. We see the heart of this blessing in its fullness. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. And then we want to catch this, because this is the centrality of the Abraham story, right? He says, I will bless you. I will make your name great. And he says, you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And so, yes, there is this paradigm, right? This paradigm of I will bless you, right? You will be blessed, and so that you will be a blessing. And so straight off, we get this paradigm. All through the Abraham story, we get this paradigm. Again, this blessing, this paradigm, this way of doing life, this way of doing life together. Noting that it is not some sort of inward focused distinction of merit, but it is an outward driven offering of benevolence. And just what does that look like? I'm glad you asked. Dropping down to chapter 18, the story goes on, verse 17, then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? His name here is changed to Abraham, means the father of the multitudes. Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth, and we can think here on earth even as it is in heaven, all nations on earth, it says, all will be blessed through him. It's not because of some inward-focused distinction of merit. Right, but rather it is an outward driven offering of benevolence. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord. And then here it is, by doing what is right and just. Right, what is right and just, the way of righteousness and justice, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. Right, and so we have the promise of this blessing. Point being, this paradigm for doing life, it goes the way of righteousness, and it goes the way of justice. It goes the way of doing what is right and just. And that flows all in and through. We see this paradigm, this heart of blessing, it actually goes all through the scriptures. From Deuteronomy and what is Parsha Akev, and Akev will pick up, it's another Parsha, we'll pick it up probably in May or June or so. 10 and verse 12, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. And then verse 17, for the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. In other words, right, he's doing what is just and right. And then here's what that looks like, right? He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow. He loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. Right? In other words, I will bless you, and so that you will be a blessing. You will be a blessing to others. What again is absolutely not some sort of inward focused distinction of personal merit, but it is fully the outward direction, the outward force, right? An offering of benevolence. Let's go over to Job for a moment. Job chapter 28. Noting at verse 12, we get a picture of this idea of righteousness and justice. Because I rescued the poor who cried for help, it says, and the fatherless who had none to assist them. The one who was dying blessed me, right? The heart of the blessing. I made the widow's heart sing. I put on righteousness as my clothing. Justice was my robe and my turban. Isaiah chapter 1, this comes in the form of an indictment against Judah. Picking it up, verse 11, we read, the multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams, of the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Verse 13, stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, and I cannot bear your worthless assemblies, your new moon feasts, and your appointed festivals. I hate with all my being. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. We see this same idea flowing into the early church. The book of Acts tells the story. This is following the resurrection of Jesus. Acts 2 and 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Right again, that blessing. God says, I will bless you. And so that you may be a blessing to others. What again is the heart of this blessing, and what again is absolutely, positively, not some inward focused distinction of merit, something deserved, but it is to be an outward driven offering of benevolence. And if we don't quite get it, we go on to Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, where we read, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned land or houses, meaning those who had been blessed, those who had received a blessing, and what did they do? It says, sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. Right? The heart of the blessing, it is an outward-driven offering of benevolence. noting what flowed through the early church actually flowed from the life and teachings of Jesus. And so one more, Matthew 25:31, we read, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, right? Meaning he comes, the kingdom, it's the idea of the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, right? In all of its fullness. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him. The nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed. Not inward focused, right? Not inward focused distinction of merit, but that outward driven offering of benevolence. You who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the creation of the world. For I was, he says, hungry, and you gave me something to eat, thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. A stranger, you welcomed me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Verse 37, then the righteous will answer him, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty, give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? Verse 40, truly I tell you, whatever you did, right? Whatever you did, think the heart of the blessing, right? Think outward direction, offering of benevolence. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, he says, you, right? You who are blessed. You who are blessed in such a way so that you may be a blessing. You did, right? The heart of blessing, righteousness and justice. He says, you did for me. You did for me. Which I think invites us then to, and invites the question, are we living this way of blessing? Are we living this way of blessing? In other words, am I actively following God's heart for blessing? Am I actively following God's heart for blessing? We could ask it this way, does my life bend toward the outward-driven offering of benevolence? Does my life bend toward the outward-driven offering of benevolence? Do I receive God's blessing with a commitment to bless others? Do I receive God's blessing with a commitment to bless others? Right, keeping in mind again that the heart of the blessing, right? It's righteousness and justice. And so we could ask, do I pursue the way of righteousness and justice? Pursue the way of righteousness and justice. And we can think for the one in need, for the poor, for the hungry, for the thirsty, the vulnerable, the mistreated, the one in the margins. Do my activities center on the caring for the least of these? You can think here of the early church and ask, do I embrace my possessions with a posture of blessing others? You could ask it this way, do I treasure my belongings for the purpose of blessing others? And then to wrap up, how is God inviting me to live the heart of blessing more fully? How is God inviting me to live the heart of the blessing more fully? Right, again, not an inward focused distinction of personal merit, but as an outward driven offering of benevolence. Layar, Balak Ben Sipor, Het Kol Asher Asah Yisrael, La Emori. Right, Balak, son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites.